أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله أصحابه أجمعين. My dear respected brothers and sisters, the organizers from Young Muslims, and of course our host, the Islamic Society of Baltimore, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. It's an honor and a pleasure for me to share a few thoughts and a few moments with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always blesses the audience, the gathering, in which His name is mentioned, and in, of course, in which the remembrance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is constant. Today, the topic on activism or engagement or involvement of the youth is something that we will come at from an angle of looking at the example of someone in whose life these qualities that we would value in the young people, the coming generation, women and men, these values come to life. That if you read about the life of many of the companions, but particularly the life of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that you find, subhanAllah, if you are left without tears, if you are left unmoved, if you are left unshaken by what a transition, a transformation this young man made, then you have to have a battery recharge. You have to go home and say to yourself, you know, something is wrong because I was not even touched by what they were talking about. That this conference went on and I felt like I was an outsider looking in. Every one of these conferences that's put together, a lot of hard work goes into them. The young brothers and sisters organize and come together. And if there's no benefit, if there's no benefit in terms of long-term improvement in the Muslim community, then all of us, myself, Sheikh Omar, Ustaz Noman, all of us are just becoming tired by just traveling a lot and speaking a lot, but no change is happening. I'm very optimistic. Change, alhamdulillah, is coming in the Muslim community. It is coming at a pace that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed, that will show decades from now when you look back, even after the worst terrorist attacks to affect the United States of America, the huffaz, the number of young boys and girls that memorized the Quran, that came closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that started to love Allah and His Messenger, that started to become tighter in their family life, in their community life, everything improved when it could have been more difficult for us. What is the life of Mus'ab ibn Umair like? Let me ask you some questions. If you think of a young person, yourself perhaps, what are things that you say would make this person the coolest person in your school, in your community? What are some things that you can say stand out when you look at people and you say, yeah, that makes a person cool, that makes a person complete? What are some things? This is not Jummah khutbah, you know that, right? Knowledge. Yeah, knowledge would be one thing. Somebody said basketball. Thank you, brothers. May Allah bless you, yeah. What is it? Knowledge, basketball, what else? To be a good example of Muslims, okay, all right. So we're looking for people who are less than 25 to answer, because sometimes the parents get really excited in the youth conferences. And they start to like, they're like, I can do this. They're like, Mom, Dad, come on, really, it's my conference. It's called Young Muslims Conference, youth. Right? So knowledge, be a good example of a Muslim. Basketball, may Allah bless you. What else? Clothes, yeah, why not? Clothes, yeah. Clothes, you want to look good, mashallah. What else? What is it? No, he's doing this, but the connection's not clear. Energetic, okay, because somebody said hair right after that. I'm like, what? Like, are you helping the brother by like explaining what he said, or are you saying something you're on? Like, hair. Yeah, no, hair is good. being energetic. What else? What is it? Personality, yeah, because you don't want to be like a vegetable. Strength, yeah, strength is good. So imagine, excuse me, you find a young guy in your town at a time when people were not taking responsibility for being parents. They're burying their young girls alive. Nobody really had a clue who was the dad, who was the mom. People were just sort of having relations and life was just going on. But here was a young man who had both parents. Father passed away at an early age. Here was a young man who was handsome. Here was a young man whose clothes were not just clothes that you and I wear because we find them locally. In that time, in that period, his clothes were being brought in. His shoes were being imported from Yemen, right? He's growing up in Mecca. His shoes are being imported from Yemen. He wears colognes and perfumes and things that, mashallah, make him smell really beautiful. So he's good looking. He has a beautiful smell that's coming from him. And women are lining up in Mecca just to wait till he walks by so that they can sort of take in this beautiful sight. Imagine this, right? This would be like worth a Facebook update, right? You'd be like, you don't know what I just saw, right? Like, right? And suddenly you're like, whoa, this can't be a human being. But it's a human being. And he actually is intelligent. He actually has all of the qualities. And one thing we haven't mentioned, which is a good sign from young people, is wealth. He was like spoiled rich. And we talk about being rich. In those days, to get clothes imported, perfumes and colognes imported, to get shoes imported, and to have all the wealth you wanted, but then he was missing something. He heard the Muslims were being persecuted, and suddenly something moved him to say, let me go and find out. I found out that they meet, they gather together, they don't send out tweets, but they do it real quietly. They're really afraid that they may get attacked and destroyed as a small community by the Quraysh. Let me find out. So he goes in. First of the qualities of a person who wants to serve Allah, initiative. Initiative. He doesn't get on and say, text his other rich buddies and they're like, dude, you want to roll over there and check out what the Muslims are up to? No. He's like, you know, this is me. I am moved. I'm going to go do this on my own. And he goes and he sits down and he listens. And then his heart is ready. His mind is ready. See, one of the things we talk about with people getting active, what you forget is that it's rare for someone who eats too much, sleeps too much, plays too many games to suddenly wake up one day and say, I'm missing something. It's not going to happen. You have to begin to deprive yourself of some things in life to be able to see what is the need that I can fulfill. And he turns around and he finds out, wow, there's this group getting together, the young and the old, the weak among them. And they're being moved by this message that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is giving. And suddenly you start to realize that he is the one that takes the initiative. So we'll have to fast forward because time always goes by faster in Baltimore. You should come to Northern Virginia. We're chill. Right? We're like, it's already 10 minutes is left, so I'm going to have to speed up a little bit, right? So he loves his mom. He's not only a rich boy, but he's a mama's boy. Come on, Baltimore. You can give it up, right? He's a mama's boy. So he's like, you know what, man? I can do all this. I can take the attacks of the Quraysh, everybody against me, but mama, don't mess with mama. Mama finds out he becomes a Muslim. It's not a simple conversation like, Musab, are you busy? Come over here. No. The servants, everybody, tie him down, keep him in place, and don't let him out of your sight. And subhanAllah, This begins to become the unraveling of the man, young man we once knew. And he begins to realize that to make this transition from this life that had no message to a life full of a message is going to mean I'm going to have to give up a lot. Number one, he's imprisoned, he's put under house arrest by his own mother. Number two, when he escapes and he does get out, and he's able to escape with the first of the people making hijrah to Abyssinia, Habasha, he does all that, not without giving up everything. They say to him, these clothes are not yours. This wealth is not yours. These colognes are not yours. What does he say? Oh, just a little bit? Can I just keep a little bit? No. He's like, you want it? It's yours. He moves under the service of the Prophet ﷺ, begins to memorize the Quran, takes on a most beautiful recitation, and believe me, the earliest verses of the Quran that talk to the Prophet ﷺ and say, address him, Ya ayyuhal mudathir, Ya ayyuhal muzammil. These surahs are telling the Prophet ﷺ, the burden that's going to come on your shoulders is so huge, you have to start up at the end of the night, the third of the night, and do some tahajjud. Do some tahajjud. You want to serve? You got to give up some things. You got to give up your sleep. You got to give up your food. You got to give up going after your nafs, your soul. If it's only about you feeding yourself, who are you serving except yourself? And this young man goes on to not only become the first of the Prophet's ambassadors to Medina, but by his hands, the lowest of estimates is that maybe over 8,000 people came into Islam just from the message that he spread. And it wasn't an arrogant message. It was a message of humility. The leaders of Medina came, said, you better stop, preaching this stuff. You're trying to mess up with our way of life. You hate our way of life. You hear that argument nowadays? More and more and more. But what does he say? He doesn't get arrogant. He doesn't stand up. We don't need Muslim young people to be foolish. We don't need you to be foolish. We need to use your brains. Don't stand up and say, I'll take on the government. You'll take on nothing. You'll be in prison for the rest of your life. But if you stand up and say, you oppose my message, why don't you have a seat? Listen to what I have to say. That's wisdom. That's strength. That's a person who knows what's important and doesn't go for the basic quick gain. Says, man, I'll take you on. I got all my people behind me. We'll take you out. Yeah, you'll take him out. Then what? Then what? Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu actually appeals to their hearts and their minds slowly. And each of them says, I like what I hear. It's the truth. He is a Badri. He is among those who fought in the Battle of Badr. Begins to sacrifice. And do you know what he sees? The prisoners of war. The prisoners of war, there he looks and he sees his own brother is tied up by the Muslims as a prisoner of war. He goes by. He goes by. You know what he says? He says to the other Muslims, he said, this one, he said, keep him because his mother is wealthy. She's going to pay a lot to get him back. And then his brother says, but you're my brother, man. He goes, no. He goes, these Muslims, they are my brothers. You are of blood relative, yes, but these are my brothers in faith. What happens to him as he moves on? He comes to one of the majalis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as he comes to sit down, people join all the time in your neighbor nets and halaqas and everything, and somebody comes in and you look at them and you say, Alhamdulillah, welcome, right? This young Mus'ab ibn Umair comes in. And the companions look, the Prophet ﷺ looks, and they start to cry. They start to cry. Say, man, this guy used to roll with the best of the best, the best of the clothing, best of the perfumes, best of everything. Now, the blanket that he has on, that's it. That's his entire wardrobe. And it's torn. It's ragged. This is his state. After loving Allah and the Messenger of Allah, this is his state. Some of you get angry with your parents. Provide more for me. and they're working hard day and night to provide whatever they can, and you say, so-and-so has this box, Xbox, and Kinect, buy this, buy this, buy this, and you don't understand. Deprivation is one of the first steps to conquering of the soul. And as I wrap up, one of the greatest lessons you must learn from the life of Mus'ab ibn Umair is at the Battle of Uhud. It is in the Battle of Uhud when some of the companions, not out of wanton, you know, disobedience to the Prophet ﷺ, but just mere momentary negligence, they don't obey the full commandments of the Prophet ﷺ. What does Mus'ab ibn Umair do? What does Mus'ab ibn Umair do? He actually holds on to the covenant, holds on to the covenant that he signed when he first took the Shahada many years ago as a young man. He would never let up. Who in the audience today is saying to themselves, I am never going to let up, no matter what they say about Islam, no matter what they say about the Quran, no matter what they say about Allah, no matter what they say about the Sharia, no matter what they say about the Prophet of Allah, I will never let up. And some of you are doing this. And we have to look at each and one of every one of you and say, we have hope. And look what happened to him. He resembled, they said, in stature and character, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He, alayhi salatu wasalam, was resembled in the form of Mus'ab ibn Umair, and the first spear strikes him. He doesn't let up. The record shows that maybe upwards of 70 different wounds that he takes in. They cut off hands, legs, and he's still standing, and he won't let go, and he won't let go. What pressures are you going to be under? The more you practice, read the articles in the LA Times, New York Times, Baltimore Sun, Washington Post, Washington Times. Anytime they arrested a young Muslim boy, mostly boys, mostly young men, every time they wanted to strike fear in the hearts of anybody who wanted to practice by saying, what? He's under arrest now. And in the months before his arrest, he began practicing more. You look them in their eyes and say to them, my covenant is with Allah. I practice for the sake of Allah. I established this religion for the sake of Allah. You can take everything from me, but you will never take the love of Allah and His Messenger from my heart. This was the example of Mus'ab ibn Umair. This was his style. This is how he rolled. And believe it or not, as the people were striking him and striking him and striking him until there was no more left to give, no ounce of energy, when the flag that he was carrying fell, this was the sign that he must have lost every cell in his body. Every piece of energy in his body had gone, and he fell to the ground. And when they went around and they were looking, as even before he fell and everyone was fighting and looking, had the Prophet ﷺ been injured? Had he been injured? What is the state of the Prophet ﷺ? And here was Mus'ab ibn Umair reciting what would later be confirmed as a verse, وَمَا مُحَمَّدْ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ وَمَا مُحَمَّدْ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing more than a messenger. If he was to be killed, would you turn back on your heels, the verse says. Would you turn back on your heels? He never turned back. Your covenant is with Allah. Your covenant is with the messenger of Allah. Your covenant as a membership, as a member of the Muslim community, you have to exercise wisdom. You have to be merciful, compassionate. This was the love that Mus'ab ibn Umair showed for his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And imagine, and the brother had given me a note saying that there was a mistake with the timing, so I had 5 more minutes, so don't think I'm like being disobedient to the moderator. MashaAllah, he's a very moderate Muslim, so we want to keep them like this, right? And what happened? Think about this. You actually had Mus'ab ibn Umair actually fall to the ground, and the companions went and they were doing their rounds and they started looking. Here lies so and so. Here lies so and so. By the time they got to him, I had goosebumps just relating the story every single time. By the time they got to him, they were in shambles. They couldn't believe that this was the state of a man who had everything in life, everything that you would ever want. You want parents, he had parents. You want beauty, he had beauty. You want wealth, he had wealth. You want the best clothes, he had the best clothes. You want good looks, he had good looks. You want the best cologne and perfume, he had that. And he gave it all up. He gave it all up. Why? Why? Because the akhirah, the reward of the hereafter, is definitely for those who persist in this life. Who definitely persist in this life. So you and I have to look at each other and say, you know what? If he was lying there, why were they crying? Why were they crying? The Prophet ﷺ gave them the good news that he is among the shuhada, those who martyr, they give their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the verse was recited from Surah Al-Ahzab, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ. From the believers are men. From the believers are men. Among the believers are men who have taken a covenant, a firm covenant with Allah. And some of them have completed their vow. Others of them are still waiting. But they have not changed in their determination. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. That they have not changed in their determination. I'm going to close by taking you through from the beginning where I started to the end. I asked you for qualities and characteristics of that which we value on earth. And you said it was good looks. You said it was knowledge. You said all of the things that you said. And then I gave you the example of somebody who Allah blessed with all of those things. And then who intentionally said, I am letting go of all of this. These conferences have to be the beginning of letting go. There are habits that you have, that you know you have, that Allah has shielded from even your parents knowing you have, your brothers and sisters knowing you have, the neighbor net halakha people knowing you have. These are habits that will only lead to your destruction if they are displeasing to Allah. And here was a man who up in his death, they tried to cover his bleeding body, his wounded body, his dead body. And they moved the cloth, the little piece of cloth that was left to cover his head. It would leave his feet uncovered. He said, no, he's dead. Dignify him. They moved to cover his legs. His head would become uncovered. Until alayhi salatu wasalam, he looked at them. He looked at what they were trying to do. And he said to them, move the fabric, move the cloth, cover his face, and then bring the leaves of a plant close by. And they covered his feet. Can you imagine that this was the burial? Oftentimes at your age, you think you can do anything. You can stay up all night. You cannot eat for days. Jump tall buildings, right? Do all of these things. And then at some point, do you ever stop to say, if Allah took me now, what good would whatever I'm doing actually, what good it would anything that I'm doing now be to me? Would it actually help me to reach the akhirah? Would it actually help me? And Mus'ab ibn Umair made a decision, stuck to the covenant, showed initiative by going to that halaqah in Darul Arqam when they were privately meeting by himself. He made that transition, took the shahada by himself. And the first of the shahada, the kalimat of shahada, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, would also be the state in which he ended his life. In a state as a shaheed, as one in whom martyrdom was complete. He was a wise man. He was an intelligent man. He didn't take on the enemies of Islam with might and anger and frustration, but with wisdom. And a lot of reflection. His beautiful recitation should be something every one of you should try to think. I want to be that young girl who recites among other women in a beautiful way, in a correct way. I want to be that young boy who does that in a beautiful way, in a correct way. I want to be the one who calls others, the 8,000 that we talk about. Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he was known for all of what he contributed, for all of what he contributed to Islam. But even his entry into Islam would not have happened had it not been the groundwork that Mus'ab ibn Umair laid. So you're the young person starting off a new one group, a new small group, and a few people are coming and you're starting to get frustrated. I say to you, do you have the patience, the persistence, the wisdom, the acumen, the intelligence of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, whose patience led to the opening of Medina, so that by the time the Prophet ﷺ came and all of the children were singing and welcoming him, the groundwork had already been laid. The heavy lifting had already been done. And indeed, those who came into Islam would get the reward of every person that they brought in. But the first of them to receive that reward would be Mus'ab ibn Umair. Brothers and sisters, we need a lot of help in the Muslim community. Every young person, if you're here today, you know those who didn't come today, you would text them if the Black Friday sale you thought was appealing to them. But have you texted them today and said, you know what? Man, I don't see you here. There's something heavy going down at ISB. And then quickly say what, how heavy it is and what it is, because the FBI is watching. And they're going to say, something heavy is going on? Let's go interrupt it. Say that there are people there who are learning and loving to learn, learning about their religion. Why don't you show up, man? Can we send a car for you? What's keeping you from coming? Because you know you were with them maybe at midnight, standing in front of Best Buy and everywhere else, doing not Qiyam al-Layl, but Qiyam al-Sail. Right? You were there. I'm all for that. I'm all for a good discount. You can't grow up in an Indo-Pakistani family not looking for a good discount. We roll like that. That's how we are. But if you do that, and you called them, and you texted them, and you weren't shy, then ask yourself, what keeps you from inviting them to Jummah prayer? What keeps you from helping them to be stronger in their religion? What keeps you from saying to them, you're not too far away from here, man. We'll come and get you in the lunch break. Just get ready. What's that? You don't have enough money? We'll figure it out, man. We'll do a little fundraising. We'll get it together. We'll get your registration fee. It's not all that. Talk to the organizer. They'll make out something for you. But you have to be showing the initiative. You have to be showing the dedication. You have to be showing the patience. You have to be showing the wisdom. You have to be showing the ability to transcend even the toughest of times. Brothers and sisters, as I close, I want to challenge every one of you today. If you didn't know about young Muslims before you came here, and you came because someone encouraged you to come, find out about the work that they're doing. This is their conference. This is their conference as a means to benefit people. They don't own anything. This is not something that they own. The knowledge that's being disseminated is being done with complete unselfishness, in the same way that Mus'ab ibn Umair was unselfish, radiallahu anhu, and accepted the mission of the Prophet ﷺ to go to Medina. He didn't know that he wouldn't get killed once he got there. He didn't know that they may not kill him in the middle of the night. He didn't know how savage they may have been to strike him with a spear even as he recited the Quran. But none of that mattered to him. Why? Because once he took the firm covenant from Allah, he held on to it, and he never let up. A lot is going to be thrown at you, towards you. People will begin to ask you questions about the religion. Don't back down. Don't back up. If you don't know, tell them you'll find out. But we don't need any young boy or girl to behave foolishly, to behave in an irrational manner, to attempt to challenge the system without first having acquired the wisdom that the religion teaches you. And none of the people who are now behind bars or have been arrested would have been in the place where they're at if they had stayed with the Jama'ah, with the group, the youth group, the young Muslims, the Mina, the whatever young Muslims groups they are. They would have never been caught if they would have stayed with that group. So I say that for a reason, because Mus'ab ibn Umair had a good life. He could have said, forget you, man, I don't need to give up all this. He gave it all up. He could have sacrificed his life very early on just to take on the leaders of Medina. He was wise, and he said, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to invite them to listen. Do you have that patience? Who is that thug in your school who takes you on every day, who rattles your nerves, calling you names? Have you ever looked at him or her and said, hey, you know what? I have an invitation for you. They're like, what, man? I'm the one that tears you apart every time. You want to invite me to something? Yeah. We're playing basketball later, me and some of the guys. Why don't you come? Why don't you show us what you got on the court? And then let him watch, let her watch when you break for prayer. And if Allah's guidance doesn't enter him or her's heart, then soon thereafter, they will have an experience whereby something will tell them, something is wrong with the way I am. I see them, they have peace. I see them, they have love. I see them, they have mercy. I see them, they have compassion. I see them, they have wisdom. And I see them, they're happy. They're really happy. So you can do that, inshallah ta'ala. You can achieve all of that on this earth and be ready for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you with, inshallah, the best in the hereafter. I will, inshallah, stop now, but I ask you to keep the organizers in your dua. There is not a moment that goes by that they don't worry if enough people will show up. So the next time you see a conference announcement, RSVP. Let them know you're coming. Let them know how many people you're bringing. Let's organize together, and then let anybody stand in our way. They will look, and the one thing they will say is that when Muslim youth organize, that's the true height of wisdom and organizing. And so we want to learn lessons from them, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khairan. I wish I could have stayed longer with you. I have to be at another event, so I'm going to BWI now, and I'll head out. But I am very much impressed at this early hour of the day that so many of you have come. And inshallah ta'ala, you've already benefited from Sheikh Omar Suleiman. Sheikh Noman Ali Khan is almost here. Dr. Arif Hussein is here. Brother Qasim Mazhar is here. Benefit from all of them. Make dua for all of them and their families. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.